This is Brian Downey. Play Stanley H. Tweedle on the Lex. The Lex is the most powerful destructive force in the two universes. Please tune in to Sci-Fi Talk, because it's one of the last good things on this stupid Take 13 planet.
Hi, this is Tony Talano. You know, the words always a pleasure are always misused in the entertainment business. But in this case, it actually doesn't put into words how much of a pleasure it is to really speak to this fine actress, Helen Dugan. We've really been talking to since 2002 when she appeared on the last episode of Lex. I consider her one of my Canadian friends that work north of the border on these great shows that we cover here on Sci-Fi Talk. Helen's been very busy working on a couple of TV movies, which we'll discuss, and also her upcoming appearance at Timeless Destinations. Once again, being on stage, and also this time a special reunion with her fellow cast members from the television series Lex. It's always fun to talk to Helen Dugan. Here's our conversation.
Yeah, I really want to say, too, that it was really nice to have met you last year at Daytime, which is now going to be Timeless, in Vancouver. It was great. It was really a nice pleasure. And the added pleasure was also being on stage with you and all those lovely ladies.
Actually, that was the most successful form of all of them, Bill said, and I actually think we should do a couple of them or make it longer. The fans really, really responded to that form about women in sci-fi and visuals. Yeah, and also look at the moderator. You know, two to tango here, and I'm serious, and likewise meeting you two, because you've interviewed me a couple of times over the last couple of years, and you were actually my first sci-fi interview, so you never forget your first.
Oh, there you go.
It's such a great pleasure to keep continuing our interviewing as we grow and mature, or immature.
I think immature is probably right.
Yeah, we must always be children, Tony.
Oh, boy, you have to really keep that, otherwise you lose it and you become an old person, and you don't want that to happen.
Definitely not.
Well, I guess we have to talk about the big news, what we just heard. I'm sure you've heard of it by now. It's all over, especially the collector mailing list and everything. It was just announced in Variety that here in the United States, we're going to be getting the collector.
Yay!
Wow,
I am so thrilled, and so are the fans. And yes, it was announced just yesterday, which was May 22nd.
Right.
The collector, the actual headline is The Collector, Collector Calling. The fans are so excited because they've been hearing about this for so long and dying for everybody to see it. So I'm thrilled that it's going to be in the U.S. Fall 2007.
That's what we hear, and it hasn't been announced yet, but I have a feeling, knowing here in the New York area who the local players are, it's either going to be one of two choices, or actually maybe three possibly. Either our Fox affiliate here or some of the others. And
they do a good job of promoting shows, correct?
Yeah, they do a pretty decent job. It depends on when they're going to air it. Because they've been known to stick shows like this like after midnight.
That would be a tragedy. So hopefully they will have a better placement for the show. So we'll keep in touch, and I will definitely let the fans know when this is going to be, because I know every one of them is dying to see it. I've been getting emails throughout the year wanting them to see it, because it's such an intriguing subject.
We did see some clips at Daytime last year, and that was like the most I've ever seen of the show. I was like, oh wow, this looks good, I want to see more,
our producer likes mystery, Tony.
In
a way I can understand for a show like this that he wants to withhold the plot and what's going to happen, so, and also it makes it more special if you don't see a lot of it when it finally does come out, and that's why people were asking all over the world, when are you going to get a DVD release of the collector? But
absolutely.
It probably worked in his favor not to release it for the U.S. So it's not out there.
I think it actually will create a buzz in syndication, and I think people will definitely go tuning in. I think the fan buzz itself, I think, is going to generate a lot of interest.
Exactly, I agree.
And they'll draw some new viewers, too, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's a great, great thing. I think it's great for you, too, to see you on a regular basis here in the U.S.
I think it's time.
Absolutely.
I hope.
So the wish list for some of the other shows, it's better to have you here on a more regular basis and see you guesting on some of the other shows that have been on the wish list that you and I always seem to dream up every time we talk.
I think it's going to help.
Yes.
Really do. I agree. You know, visibility, no matter where it is, doesn't hurt, but the U.S. is still the prime market. Every little bit helps, and I'm just looking forward to, you know, having my face, my mug on the television screen here in the U.S., and we'll see what happens. I mean,
yeah.
I'm thrilled that I'm getting letters from Australia now that the show is there in New Zealand, and all our sci-fi talk fans all over the world are starting to see some of the episodes. So I love accumulating new fans.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, the nice thing, too, about it is, you know, I had a great opportunity to speak to Ali and John, who are the producers of the show and creators, really. And it was just a real thrill to speak to them. It's available as a podcast, and they go through a lot of the, you know, the episodes, and it's actually a nice primer for those, you know, especially as the show draws to air, because that's going to be there for a long time, so they can actually, you know, listen to that as well and kind of get an idea of what the show is about. And
I mean, I've done a lot of sci-fi shows and a lot of different kinds of shows, and I don't think I've ever yet met somebody, a pair that was so passionate about a show. They're like proud parents. Every episode is, you know, they know every word. They know why they wrote every word. And actually, when we did the show, everybody was very word perfect because they were so proud, and actually most of it, 99% of it worked, actually almost 100% of it worked, because they put so much love and care in watering this little plant that they made, and they were really specific, but in a way it was great instead of somebody going, oh, just figure it out. It was really nice to have producers who really knew what the show was about and what they wanted, you know, their characters, the direction they wanted their characters to go. So I'm very grateful and I'm very happy that they worked so hard to get this show here in the States that it worked out for them. They deserve it. That's my point.
I mean, Ali, I know, has a wonderful, comes from a wonderful lineage, her father being the great Richard Matheson, who I had a chance to talk to in an interview, which was a real pleasure for me.
Wasn't that a treat? I mean, very few people are left from that generation.
People who
are the forerunners.
Yeah,
he's amazing. Actually, Ali and I are getting together for dinner in Los Angeles this week.
Oh, nice.
Still keeping in touch, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, I'm very lucky because I can certainly, I've talked to three people like that, you know, besides Richard. I met Forrie Ackerman, who really has been there for a long time, and also the great Ray Harryhausen, who was a boyhood idol of mine. So, you know, I put Richard in that same class because we're all part of the same generation that came along at the same time. And,
right.
And really were the fathers of what we are enjoying in a modern age of sci-fi and TV and movies. So,
and so all of them so ahead of their time when you
know that about it.
Definitely.
Pioneers all the way. You know, there'd be no CGI or computer animation without Ray's work with stop motion. I mean, it's just no doubt about it. And Richard's stories, you know.
The whole anthology syndrome, you know, that was very different then. Everybody copies it.
Yep. Twilight Zone, and of course, movies like, you know, Incredible Shrinking Man. And then I Am Legend, which actually became the Omega Man, you know, with Charlton Heston.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, they all, and then Forrie, what he did, he was really the first one to promote, you know, horror movies and sci-fi and actually coined the phrase sci-fi, so.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's an amazing man. He's still going strong. He was at the party for the DVD for King Kong, and he's still going strong, you know, kidding around with everyone and, like he, you know, I want to grow old like him.
Yeah, he's sharp as a tack, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What's going to be nice about Timeless that's coming up, and of course you're going to be there, and I think what's really neat is, I think really for the first time in a long time, there's going to be a Lex reunion, you know, and I think to have all of you together there in one place is really something special.
Do you know what is amazing to me? When you say Lex reunion, I feel like you're 70 years old. It's like you hear about these reunions of, you know, the top shows, old shows, and going, it wasn't old enough to be in a reunion show, but it's actually the 10th anniversary reunion of Lex, right?
Wow.
And I just got an email from a wonderful fan in New York saying that they're in celebration of the 10th anniversary of Rex, they've offered all these different merchandise items on a special website of Rex, you know,
trunks
and totes and steins and hoodies and caps and tote bags, and in celebration of it, an artist designed special logos for the 10th anniversary of the show. So it's still going strong, and actually, I don't know if you noticed, we now have a huge 10 Club in Bulgaria.
Oh, Bulgaria.
Yeah, Rex has come to Bulgaria, and just recently, about 6 months ago, I got this wonderful email from this woman who started this huge fan club in Bulgaria, and they have every couple of weekends they get together and dress up and just reminisce and discuss episodes, and they're still behind, so they don't know what's going to happen.
Right, yeah.
So it's interesting that at Timeless Destinations we're having a reunion, but for some countries, it's coming on for the first time.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's sort of, it's an interesting, you know, what's the word? It's just sort of, it's a beginning and an end, but it still feels like a beginning. So
yeah,
the reunion is going to be great, yes. I mean, I still keep in touch with almost everyone via email. So
that's
we
nice.
Really became a close-knit family, this crazy show of ours.
When the interviews I did this year with Brian Downey and also Michael McManus, what was great is I got a lot of comments on the website from Russian Lex fans.
Yes, we have a huge Russian club too. And now and then we go online and do a Russian chat, probably twice a year.
That's right.
And oh, I think it's fabulous.
Yeah,
it's interesting
great.
That this humor, which is so wacky,
oh, yeah,
not everybody's taste, seems
right.
to translate into some of these countries that you wouldn't think would like it. But you know what? I think it's great. It's great that they're getting this sixth sense of humor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe they're smarter than we are. I don't know, but I think it's fabulous.
Yeah, that's just awesome. You know, you can't predict what it's going to be like until you actually see it, but when all of you are together on stage, I think it's going to be really something special.
Yeah, I do too. I don't, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know it's going to be a huge rush. It really is. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody in person.
Talking to Michael, he hasn't seen everybody in actually more than just a few years, so it's...
I haven't seen Michael since we shot in Thailand,
Alex
Mel, the final episode of Rex, so I'm actually really looking forward to seeing him. We all are. He's the biggest mystery of Rex. You know, he's always been kind of more private than all of us in terms of showing up at these things, but we're really looking forward to having him there.
Got a lot of nice comments about his interview, and it was really good. Well, Brian's too, for that matter.
Oh, they're both really intelligent men.
Yes.
They really are. We actually had an incredibly smart cast of very well-educated, sharp people. So none of us are too bad.
Well, Brian's interview was like all over the place.
I believe it.
We,
crazy.
We covered every subject under the sun.
Yeah.
We didn't stick the topic at all. I mean, it just went all over the place.
Can I tell you about recipes now? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, you got a good one.
Put the toast in the toaster and press the button down.
Yeah, that's my favorite so far, I'll tell you.
Open the peanut butter.
Yeah, there you go.
The peanut butter. That's my recipe for happiness late at night. There you go.
No jelly? I mean,
Well, yeah, sometimes, but sometimes I run out. So, you know, in a pinch, or if you don't have bread, you just take the spoon and dip it in. I don't know if you're a crunchy man or a smooth man, but...
I like smooth and crunchy.
Me too. I don't discriminate.
And the good thing about peanut butter, it lasts forever.
It does. Well,
it does.
It really does, especially if you get the extra, I call it the extra strength jar.
Yeah, there you go.
So, we're off topic.
Yes, that's fine. That's fine.
It's a new mini-series, a sci-fi series called The Peanut Butter Kid.
The Peanut Butter Kid,
It's about a peanut butter, a big monster that takes over the world.
Exactly.
But actually, you know what? Stupider things have been done.
Yeah, you're right about that. They probably will be done.
Exactly. Hey, listen, anybody listening to this, they want that idea, you have to come through us, okay?
That's right.
Your trademark, Tony and Ellen.
You got it. You got it. And Ellen's sorry.
Okay, well.
You're attached.
I don't know. Maybe the puff. Now it's reminding me of that puff thing from Ghostbusters. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Stay puff man.
Stay puff marshmallow man.
Yeah. Maybe he can start.
Yeah, maybe he can be in it. Yeah.
Rick Moranis?
He was in the movie.
Yeah, I don't know who the pop guy was. See, look at this.
No, he was a... he wasn't CGI. They didn't have CGI then, but he was kind of like a special effect.
Yeah, he was. Marshmallows and peanut butter now, Tony.
Yeah, I know. It's
getting... See, Brian Downey just came into the break.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're channeling Brian
right now. That's right.
We are. The influence has felt even to this point.
Yeah,
really
definitely.
It's really amazing. What is nice about Timeless, and I really really got a kick out of this for, I don't see this as much at other conventions, are the photo sessions with the, you know, with the fans and the actors. And I think that's really cool because you're really creating a memory of a lifetime. You know, you really are. Something you can take with you all the time. And you guys are just, you know, you're just like, you're super. I mean, you treat these fans like they're your buddies. And I mean, well, they are.
They actually are, you know, and I'm not BSing this. I think it's very unique to this convention, and that's actually one of the reasons I like doing it, because it gives you one-on-one private time with the fans, and they'll ask you questions or they'll tell you about your life. It is amazing how open and vulnerable these people are. I mean, they talk about the sci-fi world and movies and television, but they also tell you about their cats, their kids, their families, you know, everything. And the one-on-one is a very interesting time, and then they get to know you and tell you what they're like. And I think it's very special. It's actually one of the highlights for me last year, so another thing I'm looking forward to. Thanks for bringing that up.
Sure.
Thought about that.
Sure. Last I heard, you were shooting The Wives That He Forgot, the TV movie.
I just finished this movie with the pretty in pink Molly Ringwald.
Yes, yes.
Molly's making a comeback. She was actually just in Medium about a week and a half ago on TV. This is one of those Lifetime movies, a thriller about a man who has amnesia and forgets he has two wives, and they come back after he's been hanging with Molly's character, and I play Molly's wisecracking fun best friend. And it was very interesting to work with an icon, a 1980s icon. It's my second, because I did Dead Zone.
That's right.
With Michael Hall.
Yeah, another Breakfast Club kind of person.
Exactly. What did they call him? The Brat Pack?
The Brat Pack, yeah.
Yeah, the Rat Pack. That was Sinatra.
That's
this
right.
This is the Brat Pack. Actually, it's really, and when I tell people that I've worked with her, the reaction has been really strong because so many people grew up with her.
Yes.
And her, a lot of her movies, I just saw one air the other night, was Breakfast Club was on. And
yeah, there you go.
It's been a very unique experience working with her, and I kind of was a little bit shy, and yeah, Ellen was a little bit shy, believe it or not. I kind of admired her, too, so it was she's a very hard worker and very disciplined.
Yeah, good.
So I really enjoyed working on that movie. And that's not going to come out for about 6 to 8 months. I'll keep you posted on that.
Yeah, that's
I had a great time doing that film.
Well, fans can also go to your website.
Yes, it will all be updated on that.
So that's a good place to keep up with what you're up to and what's going on.
Exactly.
You are also in, I think it's pronounced L, Canada, is that right?
Yes, L, which is a big, actually, U.S.
publication, yeah.
And they have a Canadian issue with the famous Canadian actress Jennifer Aniston on it. I'm just making a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually a great issue because if Jennifer Aniston's on the cover, I'm going to get a lot of people looking at the article. And it's a comment about, actually, I'm really glad in a fashion magazine that they recognize the fact that I like to change. They call me the long-legged chameleon. Thank you. I like that laugh. Which is interesting because, you know, in the collector, you're playing more yourself, but I've been known for changing my look, and people always say, the article was about how I'm unrecognizable in the street, even though when you see me, you go, oh, she's tall and striking. This is quoting the writer. I don't talk about myself like this. And, you know, a beautiful woman. This is the writer, not me. She said, well, why don't people recognize you that much? I said, well, because I'm more of a chameleon type actress. And she said, there's very few women that go that way. And I said, you're right. It's not as common. More men, you know, the Gary Oldmans of the world get more than women, you know, maybe Kate Blanchett, Meryl Streep. But very few women actresses, if you think about it, do it. I don't know if it's because the opportunities aren't there. I mean, this might be something for a forum for sci-fi actresses to discuss this summer.
Yeah.
But, so that's what the article focused on, and I was very pleased in a fashion magazine that, yes, it was about, you know, being a pretty woman, but it was more about the talent and the fact that I like to change and I don't mind getting down and ugly, which is really, really great that a fashion magazine would do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Go in that direction.
Well, I will definitely agree with the writer, is that you are striking in person. And I think what impressed me was, you know, you realize, you know, seeing you and everything, as much as we saw each other during the convention, it was like, you know, the pictures don't really do her justice. I mean, you have to really see Ellen Dubin in person to really realize how beautiful she really is. So.
Thank you, Sony. I'm still still coming into this look. It's, you know, not your standard kind of look, but I think, you know, some unique producers will recognize it, and that's the people I want to work with. You know, I'm not your standard pretty girl, but I guess the uniqueness will probably help. You'll get the, you know, you'll get the interesting role. So I'm still, you know, playing with that. We all, you know, take our time growing into our
roles.
But,
sure.
I appreciate that. That was very sweet. Thank
you. It was not smoke or anything. It was the real thing. So I was really impressed. I was like, wow, you know, it's like, yeah, she definitely looks like an actress. So it was great. And that was one of the highlights of the summer, to really meet all of you. I mean, the whole, you know, I sent Bill an email and I said, you know, I came up there, you know, and I really felt like I have friends in Canada now. So it was.
You do, Tony.
It was really.
You actually, I mean, again, boy, we're all using smoke. I think this is our third smoke today. You are one of the few interviewers who knows what he's talking about. This is a comment on interviews, but you really research us. You know our careers. You listen, I'm going to phone you when I need to remind myself what I did 5 years ago. But you're, and you, the way you link things together, and it's just, it's very astounding and very appreciated. So I just wanted to let you know.
Oh,
that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's all you're getting, because your head can't get any bigger.
No, believe me. I got things that bring me down there, so believe me, don't worry about
that. We all do, and that's what's very important.
Human, you know?
Exactly.
Now, there was something, I actually wanted to talk to you about this the last time we talked, but I saw you in a magazine layout. That was also, I think, kind of like a Canadian version of Maxim a little bit, right? Is that my right?
U-M-M.
And yeah, and I'm saying, looking at it going, is she wearing her hair differently?
Oh, you know, this is, again, I found this hilarious to do. They asked me to do it, and I went, oh, gosh. So I took it on. As you know, I think a lot of the girls take it on as a modeling assignment. I took it on as an acting assignment.
Oh, there
okay.
You
I'm going to play the sexy babe that I laugh at every time I go by a newsstand. And this is how I approached it. And too bad you don't have the outtakes of the session, of videotape of the session, because the fans would die of laughter. I mean, I literally imitated poses that I see in magazines. And I am a dancer, so I'm very comfortable with my body in terms of moving and stuff like that. So that wasn't a problem. And the photographer didn't have to tell me, you know, she didn't have to tell me too much to do, but we were laughing so hard. I mean, I'm not going to name names, but I go, here's my pose of, or here's my pose of,
yeah.
So I would spoof it, and then, you know, we would get the right one in between. But I had them do, we went from absolute girl demure next door in a little taffeta, little ballet skirt to, you know, raunchy broad on the beach, you know, with the water flowing in the white shirt. You know, I went through the gamut. And I actually planned it. I do a lot, like my acting work, I do a ton of research when I do magazine stuff. I laid it out literally I had seven different looks I wanted to do. And put together outfits, and it was a lot of work. I mean, I spent a lot of time researching this, and, you know, fans say, well, Ellen, you know, if you're such a true, I got this one from one woman, sort of a feminist, and she said, well, if you're such a true actress, why would you do something like this? And I actually phoned her, because I was a little bit upset with it, and I said, you know what, you have a point, because I do actually make fun of women who do this kind of stuff. But when I told her that I did it as an acting assignment and that, you know, it was nothing that I was upset about, and, you know, I kept my clothes on and I actually, you know, controlled the whole thing, she was fine about it after, when she knew where I was coming from, that it wasn't something like, you know, I want to get more men, I mean, yes, if you want to get more male fans to love me, sure, but it was just more about having fun and the fact that I really was playing a role as a sex symbol. You know, if you ask me tomorrow, you're going to be playing the role of a sweet little housewife in a shoot, I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
And that still comes back to the chameleon thing. I know that's a weird approach, and I think most women who do sexy layouts wouldn't tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that's exactly what it was. I knew what I was doing.
It was very classy and very tastefully done.
Thank you.
I really liked it. It was just, it was like, oh, you know, we don't see this side of Ellen, and, you know.
That's another reason why I did it, because people, I mean, yes, people know me as an attractive woman, but I really thought, you know what, I played so many down and dirty, I mean, Jiggy is not exactly, she's sexy in a different kind of way. It's like,
yeah.
And the collector was a very straightforward woman who never relied on any sexuality at all,
right.
In her brains only, and I thought, you know what, this is fine. Because this is not, I think if I was playing a part like that throughout the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have done it. That's my point.
Oh, there you go. There you
so
go.
I like to go the opposite.
Yeah, besides the TV movie, you've been doing the audition routine.
I just wanted to mention one other TV movie that's going to come out on Lifetime in Space called Murder in My House on June 12th, and it's just going to continue throughout June.
All right.
And that's with Barbara Niven and Gary Hudson and Daniel J. Trevante's comeback.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is why I did it. So it's funny because I've now done a comeback movie with Molly Ringwald. I feel like I'm the comeback person, you know, encouraging their comeback, and Daniel J. Trevante, who I have one amazing scene with him, and I'm really looking forward to seeing
him. Oh, good.
And he was on Prison Break last week, so.
Yes, he was.
He's coming back, and he's an astounding human and a great actor. Series with him. And, you know, he, again, with the Hill Street Blues, that was a show that was the forerunner of all the shows that are going on now of that ilk.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
So I just wanted to tell the fans that that's coming up in June.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. He's great. I mean, all those shows, they've been releasing Hill Street on DVD, and, you know, DVD
is... They have now, good.
Oh, yeah, those shows are like finding new life as a DVD, and it's great when they go back and they talk to the people involved, too, like years later, and get them, you know, in front of a camera and have them reminisce or do commentary.
Yeah, I love that, too.
Yeah, so I think that's great. So, that's great. I'm looking forward to that. I'm glad that he is... that he's still acting, and I've always respected him as an actor.
And that's also a kind of a thriller as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so the Lifetime, he's been doing thrillers, and Swarmed is still coming out through the summer, the big movie, as I call it. And so there's a lot of, Ellen is on Lifetime all over the place.
And with Michael Shanks, of course.
Michael Shanks, yep, and All Around the Town with Michael Shanks is still airing on Lifetime throughout the summer.
Yes.
So you can get your Stargate and your Stargate wannabe girl.
You know, actually, I don't know if you heard this, but when I interviewed Michael recently, I said, yeah, you know, we're in a sci-fi calendar, you know, and I said, sounds interesting. I said, you know, I really know somebody who would be perfect for your calendar. And he goes, oh, yeah, and he goes, yeah, Ellen Dubin would be perfect. I know you know Ellen, too. So, I mean, it seemed like she'd be natural for it, too.
What did he say?
Oh, he liked it. He thought it was, he goes, yeah, yeah, I've heard that. You're not the first one that mentioned her.
I'm sure Bill has, too. Listen, for him, I would do a calendar, I think it's Chris Judge is also involved with it. Too.
Yeah, he is, I just spoke to Chris about that. He actually photographs it, so.
Oh, well, there you go. And now that Michael has put Lex in, you know, we had that over with, so we can move on to the next girl.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, what's really neat is a lot of the ladies are actually very involved in the planning of their layouts too, you know, which is probably what's the biggest difference these days. That's like in the 50s when those kind of pictures were taken. It's like the ladies are actually very involved and kind of pick a theme or a character that they like.
Yeah, that's great.
And actually, he's just spoken to Katie Sackhoff.
Yes.
Battlestar, who's interested, and she is planning something really cool, according to him. So.
See, that way we can have fun and play a character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be sexy but classy and
cool,
which is what I really like. I hope that they do it again because I'd love to do it.
Oh, they are going to do it again. I think they're going to have more than one, and I put in my good word, too. So.
Thank you.
So, absolutely, you'd be a natural for that. Is there, like, anything else that besides the Lifetime films that we can watch you in coming up?
There's now, I know this isn't a sci-fi thing, but there's a lot of sci-fi fans who love Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
They're now going to re-release a new DVD of Napoleon Dynamite that has added scenes, which I have been in some scenes. I don't know if I'm in it or not, because it's going to come out sometime in the next month. It was a huge announcement in Variety and Hollywood Reporter that it's coming out with new scenes, new commentary, new merchandising. This is the little movie that keeps on ticking.
It does. It does. It really does.
So I know that there's a lot of crossover fans who love this movie. So I just wanted them to be aware to look out for this. And it's very, very exciting to be a part of something that started off so tiny and has become a huge, huge success. I love stuff like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I definitely do.
I know that the movie's making the rounds on the pay cable circuit right now.
Yes, it is. It's been on, I think, HBO and yep. Cinemax. It's all over the place. And I get tons of emails about this movie still.
Oh, that's great.
People quoting stuff and buying clothes still with the logos, and the merchandising is huge. They haven't made a doll of me yet, which is good. But it's very interesting to see dolls of some of the characters you acted with in that story. You go, whoa, this is weird.
Yeah, it's got to be strange.
But, hey, I love success stories when people are quote-unquote nowhere or nobody and then become huge success from just working hard and having a fun, funky script.
Yeah.
That, to me, is really, really fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Those are great, great stories.
Yeah. So it's been an interesting week, you know, with these couple of movies coming out.
Yeah.
And this, you know, the Napoleon Dynamite re-release and the Lex reunion and then, of course, The Collector. So it's been very exciting. And I hope in the next week or so I will have a very good announcement for the fans about maybe a new series. So,
oh, absolutely.
Which it's time for a series like this.
Oh, good.
It would be in the same genre. In a supernatural sci-fi genre.
Oh, great.
But it's just, we just, all of us auditioned last week all over Canada and the United States.
Wow.
And they've expressed interest, but in the meantime, I don't like to announce things until it's signed, sealed, and delivered.
Absolutely.
But the fans hopefully will have something to look forward to. And of course, Timeless Destinations, I hope if people haven't been and they hear me speak on Sci-Fi Talk, they can come, because there's still some room, and we would love to see you there.
Absolutely.
And have sessions in person. And
absolutely.
We'll be there, too.
Yes, I'm going to... It hasn't been totally confirmed, but I am working very hard to get there.
Well, I'm working harder now to get you there. I just put all my feet in my mouth.
No, it's okay.
No, I mean, I think it's great. And
I really want to be there.
And the good thing for fans is, I mean, when Tony brought up before about the photography thing,
yeah.
Basically, you really do get one-on-one attention. We do not disappear. The only thing you disappear is to go eat or go to the bathroom. But even when we go eat in the restaurant, you most of the time people join us. So it's a very hands-on, get-to-know-you kind of convention, which is great.
Very rare. Very, very rare. It is. It has, like... I don't know, intimacy is
something. Yeah, no, yeah, you just took the words right out of my mouth.
It's got
an intimate feel. You get to know the actor, and vice versa. We get to know the fans, and you feel like you're getting, I mean, a lot of fans spend a year's worth of their money, or they save up a year, get babysitters, spend a lot of time and effort to get to Vancouver for this. We want to give them their money's worth and their time's worth, and I really do believe that they deserve it.
The other factor involved is after being there last year and really falling in love with I fell in love with Vancouver.
Yeah.
It's such an incredible city.
Yeah.
You know, and the air is absolutely amazing.
Come breathe beautiful air.
Oh,
you can talk to us and have great restaurants, and you can see the land. The lands are beautiful. The sea, the seawall, the forest. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a good eye like I do, as far as locations and stuff, you can walk around the city and say, oh, Dead Zone here, The Collector here, maybe, you know, and stuff like that. You'll recognize some locations.
Stargate, Battlestar Galactica. Exactly.
And they're all shot there, Smallville, too.
4400?
Yeah, 4400.
That's my new wish list, by the way.
I've never taken you off that one. I want you on that show,
thank you, Tony. I've been starting to watch that.
Oh, it's a great show, yeah.
Wow, it's good.
Season 2 is on DVD coming out real soon.
It is?
Yeah, for people to catch up.
I've missed a couple.
And I've watched Season 1, and I was totally enthralled with it, and Season 2 is coming out, and Season 3 starts in June. So.
This is well-acted show.
So, and look for Ellen Dubin, by the way, folks, in Dead Zone. It's coming out on DVD, which in the season where your episode is on.
Oh, great, great.
Glad I'd be able to see you. And Chris Kramer's in the episode, too.
Yeah, a weird coincidence.
Yeah.
An autistic boy, and I play a mother of an autistic boy in The Collector. So it was a very weird
episode. Little Twilight Zone there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, the Twilight Zone and the Dead Zone. Love his own name.
Twilight Zone,
That's great, Tony. I like that.
Yeah, but that's something to look forward to. That's actually a season that I've seen first two, so I need to catch up on the next two. And
wonderful.
Summers are always good because you have all the shows are done, and then USA brilliantly releases new seasons of 44 and also Dead Zone when there's no new TV on.
I love it.
So it's like, okay, right, you know, Galactica's over, everybody's on hiatus, you know, Stargate's being shot now, and they're shooting all the other shows for the fall. So it's like, these guys were shooting probably, I would say, probably at the beginning of the year, and then when the other shows were airing, so they're like on a different schedule, but they'll be coming out, and boy, that's going to be cool to see what they're doing. But yeah, 44 would be great, and...
Battlestar, of course.
Battlestar,
with Trisha Helfer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it would be great. I really like her as a person, and it'll be fun to play with her.
Yeah.
She's really good on the show.
It'd be interesting as one of the Cylons on the show.
I agree.
Yeah, I think you can bring something to it, you know?
I think that's a very good idea. It's a very well-acted show, too.
Isn't it? Well, I mean, Fulvio Cesare was in it.
Yes, God, he's a wonderful actor.
And boy, I mean, talk about the character that he played. Oh, what a slime. I mean, he was horrible on that show.
A true testament to his wonderful acting ability.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, if you know him, you know that he is... light years away from this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But
great actor.
Oh, he really is. But
yeah, he's very strong.
You know, he didn't have a lot to do, but what he did was very dramatic, and, you know, you had to set up... a lot of times, I've said this many times to people, an actor doesn't get a lot of time, screen time, but what they have, you know, it can literally turn the plot on a dime.
You're right.
You know?
You are so right, and a lot of actors go, oh, this is not a very good part, and I say, you know what, you never know.
Yeah.
You just show up, you'd be surprised what you can do.
If they don't do their job, the scene falls apart, and credibility goes out the window, and the audience won't buy what's going on the rest of the episode. Even though we don't see that actor again, their performance is memorable in another way that hurts. But if they do a great job, like he did in that, you know, in that sequence, it sells what's going on, and then the actions of the other characters are justified based on what he did.
So, exactly.
So it's like a domino effect, really. So it really is important. So there, what's that line? There are no small parts.
There's no small parts, only small actors.
Exactly. There you go. I know we get it right.
We were just together. We needed to do domino effect together.
Exactly.
So,
we can look forward to you on DVD and then the movies as well. And also, of course, for fans to get a great opportunity to meet you in person if you haven't already done so. And then speaking from my own experience, you know, seeing you on stage and, you know, also you did a lot of really cool things with Andrew Jackson, who was, you know, your husband on The Collector, and also Adrian, who was, you know, the young boy on the show. And you did something for Canadian TV that was, and boy, you guys were just, you were naturals. You know,
we really have great chemistry.
Yeah,
all of us, we just really listen, and we work off each other, and thank you. I really appreciate what you said. I'm looking forward to actually seeing Aiden growing.
Yeah.
And he'll probably be up to my shoulder soon. And Andrew Jackson, he can't grow anymore. For a ball of hunk of man. So we don't need to have him any taller either. He's perfect. I'm actually looking forward to seeing Andrew as well. It's going to be great. And, you know, the fans really can ask us anything. So it's a really good convention to come to.
People come out of Westfield with their questions, but it's always a lot of fun.
We've got good gloves and baseball bats if we don't like
them. Yeah. You can go out now. You're done.
Exactly.
So you're covered.
We are going to have more forums, which is great.
Yeah, that's
great. Gives fans an opportunity to really, you know, see the insides workings of how actors work on sci-fi series. And I think it's a really, actually, very good thing to have. And they're quite intimate, too. There's not, like, hundreds and hundreds of people that show up, which is great.
Well, you know, what's nice, too, is I was impressed with, it's like, you know, getting a chance to see set visits and, you know, and visit sets of movies that we're shooting, and that's awesome. And then you have, you know, people bringing clips of what they're working on and showing you. And, you know, that's fantastic. I mean, you know,
very rare.
Yeah, very, very rare.
We're actually, you know, getting up close and personal with the sets, the actors, the clips, and stuff that people haven't seen, advanced stuff that people, you know, haven't seen either. So, no, it's very, very good. It's a really, really great sci-fi convention.
Yeah, you you know, you get 33.
I don't get any kickbacks or financial things for this, so I'm just telling you that I just like the fact for myself that I can be one-on-one with fans, and they could get their questions answered, and they see all kinds of unique things.
Well, one thing that you guys, that you all did that was really commendable was the charity auction.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing it. I mean, yes, to see the fans is very important, but any money that's raised goes to the Children's Hospital in Vancouver, Ronald House, and all kinds of other different charities, which is, you know, this is, that's the bottom line.
It really is. Helping others is,
It really is, and having fun at the same time and entertaining people. I mean, I think it's a perfect combination for this time.
It really is, and I'm really glad that Timeless is keeping that tradition alive.
Oh, definitely.
We need more conventions like that, but right now it's unique in its own way. But I think it's just an awesome, venue, and I just really like what they're all doing. I know they're working hard now to get all the pieces in place so that...
Yep, we're actually, I know Andrew Jackson and another writer, Jeff Hirschfield, is helping.
From West. Yeah, yeah.
They're going to write a show, and we perform it on a boat.
On a boat cruise. Yes.
And it's absolutely outlandish, crazy sci-fi stuff, and the audience participates, and the show will never be seen again.
That's right.
Exclusive show just for that convention. We did one last year and got an amazing response. People still email me about it.
Oh,
they like the outfits, to be honest with you.
Well, probably.
They're very, very sexy, but they're very funny. It's a very funny show. So, yes, we're looking forward to making absolute asses of ourselves. We do everything for the fans, believe me.
In the meantime,
you can see me in the peanut butter aisle at various department stores.
I'm getting a craving for it right now.
I am too. I gotta go get some peanut butter.
I think I have some around here. I might have
to. Crunchy or smoothie?
Actually, it's crunchy.
Me too.
Yeah, mine is crunchy right now.
We'll crunch together.
Yeah. I sometimes I'll go generic, but sometimes I'll go Jif.
I try them all.
Yeah, I've tried them all.
All of them. Yeah.
And there's even one that has peanut butter and jelly mixed together.
I've never tried that. That's like a Nutella of peanut butter and jam, though.
You know, it's great when you get those little jams from, like they're separate, that are like, real
like
exotic ones.
Restaurant. Those little tiny ones.
Yeah, those are the best.
Oh, I should send you a ton of those. Oh, God, I love those.
Oh,
now I'm getting hungry. So I'm going to go with some peanut butter.
There you go.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Well, thanks again, Ellen.
You're welcome.
Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you too, Tony, and I hope to see you soon.
Absolutely.
Okay. Bye.
Take care now.
Besides thanking Ellen, I'd also like to thank Bill Wanstrom of Wanstrom & Associates, who set up this interview. Look forward to talking to Ellen once again and seeing her at Timeless Destinations this summer. Check out their page at timelessdestinations.com for more information on the convention. It's really a great convention. We're not compensated in any way, and I certainly don't endorse conventions as a norm, but this one is very, very special because it is so fan-friendly and geared towards the fans. That's what gets my eye, and that's why I probably will continue to go there for many years to come. For more information on Ellen and her career, check out the Ellen Dubin page, which will be up and running at scifitalk.com. Thanks for listening. This is Tony Tomato.
Hi, I'm Ellen Dubin, one of the leads in The Collector, and you're listening to my favorite station, Sci-Fi Talk.
Oh, that's great. No payola was exchanged.
No payola was exchanged.